Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It's a very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM. Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Yes, hello there. Good morning and you're very welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport here on Dublin's 98FM. It's a very, very dark morning in Dublin, like kind of the end of the world. So I'm not sure if that storm Hagibis or whatever it's called from Japan has come here. But yeah, if you're still in bed, I'd roll over and I'd listen to 98FM all day and wouldn't leave because it's a bit rotten out. Anyway, coming up between now and 10 on an Ireland team show, we'll be joined by Joe Schmidt, Rory Best, Andrew Porter, Luke McGrath and Shane Byrne to talk all things Rugby World Cup.
You know, an unbelievable work from us all. You know, the support out there was unbelievable. I'm sure they're going to show up again next week. So, you know, have a great week ahead and everyone's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the last two games have given us real confidence. Like, it's great confidence. It's a great springboard for us coming into a quarterfinal.
It is about going to quarterfinal and winning it because it's now not big rugby and you don't get a second chance at it.
Either of the opponents that we'll hit, they'll watch tomorrow evening's game, see the result, know who they're playing.
98FM's League of Ireland Sunday will hear from Cabinteely and Longford players and managers after a dramatic playoff penalty shootout. And one of Cabo's heroes, Rob Manley, will be here as well as a disappointed Longford Town boss, Dara Doyle.
The roller coaster of the season. We still have another two games, possibly four, to go, so everyone's looking forward to it.
Scotland, it's a hard way to lose a game. There's no worse way than going out to losing on penalties, obviously.
Ireland women's national team manager Vera Pau and under 21 boss Stephen Kenny on positive Euro qualifier results in front of record crowds in Tala during the week. And then we'll turn our attention to the senior team after last night's draw in Georgia. Yesterday afternoon, really. Last night in Georgia, but the afternoon in Ireland and ahead of a big game in Switzerland on Tuesday. Debutant Aaron Connolly, goalkeeper Darren Randolph, captain Seamus Coleman, and former boy in green Darren O'Dea will be here.
Hardest moment I've had in football so far. Frustrated a little bit for not winning, but again it's a good point away from home.
We know we're capable of a big result, and I think our fans were amazing tonight, how they travelled, and I know they'll travel again Tuesday night.
Let's get the show on the road this Sunday.
98FM. Now That's What I Call Sport.
Nathan Whelan, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm great, apart from the fact that the news was early and I had to run into the studio out of breath and talk for 2 minutes with nothing in front of me. It's dark outside at nearly 9:10 on a Sunday morning. My microphone broke just before I started talking and my seat isn't exactly the right height. So here's to a great show.
I reckon you should moan a bit more before we start. I think I love the positive energy coming from you.
Ah, yeah, but sure, we'll get on with it.
We'll get on with it indeed.
We're actually, the studio's like almost in darkness. We could be doing a show midnight and no one would ever know.
Yeah, it's the winter mornings are definitely coming in thick and fast.
It feels a bit Halloween-y.
It does, yeah. And thank God for mentioning Halloween, because some people jump straight to Christmassy and that irks me something terrible.
Yeah, there was pumpkins in my local pub last night.
Pumpkins.
Yeah.
I'm more for the night itself. I don't really like the build up.
Yeah. Now Ireland getting ready for a Rugby World Cup quarter final against either back to back world champions New Zealand or South Africa after yesterday's bonus point win over Samoa in Japan. And Nathan was watching it, and a good win for Joe Schmidt's team.
It certainly was. They certainly convincingly dispatched Samoa in the final pool game, cementing their place in the quarterfinals of the Rugby World Cup. Tries from Rory Best, Tadhg Furlong, Jordan Larmour, CJ Stander, Andrew Conway and two from Johnny Sexton handed Schmidt's man a welcome boost. There was some controversy that was Bundyaki was sent off for a high tackle, which he would find it rather hard to argue with, but overall it was a very, very promising performance.
Yeah, and a really good photo as well of Bundyaki praying with some Samoan players on the pitch after the match, which is just, you know, you think they want to kick the crap out of each other during the match, and then once the match is over, because they're of the same religion, they'll pray together, which is something. It was just an unbelievable photo. If you haven't seen it, you'll be able to find it online. It's well worth a look. Now, ex-Lions, Leinster and Ireland man Shane Byrne will be along in just a moment. But first, let's get some reaction from the Ireland camp. Our Owen Sheehan has been chatting to Andrew Porter and Luke McGrath.
How are you feeling after that? It's been an interesting couple of weeks, but it seems that was probably your best performance yet.
Yeah, possibly. So it was a difficult one when we went down to 14 men, but I thought we actually reacted really well when Bundy got sent off. So, you know, we came together as a team and, you know, finished the game. game. Yeah, you're probably right. It probably was some of our better Sophie showed out there, but there was a lot of little bits that we have to tidy up for next week.
What sort of things do you have to tidy up?
I think it got a little bit kind of unstructured towards the end and probably favoured a bit of Samoa. You know, they probably were unlucky not to get a try or two at the end, but I thought our defence was really good, especially when we went down to 14 men. But like little things like that, we won't be let off the hook next week.
How big a deal was the 9-day turnaround now leading up to this game? Because the narrative, if it's New Zealand that you play in the quarterfinals, that they're going to have a 13-day turnaround. Like, it seemed that you were better off with a bit more days of rest. Yeah. Not sure what that screen was in the background.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But yeah, like look, we had a nice break towards the end of last week. We obviously played last Thursday, so you know we enjoyed the weekend. We got out and about and kind of switched off for a couple of days, which was lovely. And like yeah, like you say, we just had a normal kind of game week, what we're used to. So it probably worked to our advantage this week. Yeah, like look, New Zealand are going to have a longer layoff as well before this game. But having said that, it's all about winning next week, so it's a knockout game.
How was Bundy inside in the dressing room?
Yeah, he's obviously really upset. You know, he's so friendly, you know, off the pitch. So it was unlucky out there. Unfortunately, these things happen, and we've seen them happen in the last, you know, few weeks. So it's unfortunate, but you know, he's okay. It's unfortunate for him though.
Outside of that, it's kind of no sweat when it comes to injuries. It looks like everybody's okay going into next week. Stark contrast to 2015. Was that mentioned at all in the build up to this?
No, I don't. It wasn't mentioned. You know, 2015 is a long time ago. Yeah. I know it's the last World Cup now, but look, it's a huge game for Ireland, for us. So next week we're all unbelievably excited now to get into it. The main thing is that we're in the game. We're not sure who we're going to be playing, but you know we're delighted to be there, and you know it's, you know, a knockout game next week.
How much is it a case now where you've kind of got the ball rolling at this point, where you kind of had to win tonight, so therefore there was no kind of making your mind up about playing half teams or anything like that. So you kind of just do the same thing next week, and there's no getting complicated.
Yeah, exactly. It's as simple as that. You know, we looked at this game as almost a knockout game as well. We had to win, like you say. So now that job's done, and we have a massive challenge ahead of us next week. But you know, to be in the quarterfinal of a World Cup is, you know, an unbelievable work from us all. You know, the support out there was unbelievable. I'm sure they're going to show up again next week. So you have a great week ahead, and everyone's looking forward to it.
Andrew Porter back on track, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think the last few games have given us real confidence. Like, obviously there's a few mistakes that we'll try to rectify in coming the next week, but it's great confidence, great springboard for us coming into quarterfinal.
Rory Best made a very good point actually in the press conference earlier on, that in the past couple of World Cups there wasn't a sort of rude awakening moment in the pool stages.
Yeah.
Whereas you got that with Japan this year. Is that something you go along with?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of, it's better to happen then than in a quarterfinal, hopefully. So it's something that's kind of woken us up almost. And like, obviously it would have been better if it didn't happen at all. Like, but the last two games have given us a lot of confidence, and I think with performance like today, we got a result that we wanted. So it's great like that. So
it must be an amazing feeling being part of a team with such confidence, and clearly on a personal level, you're playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, it's something I've been really trying to kind of, to boost for myself, my self-confidence around the pitch and off the pitch as well. So, but the lads on the team have been great for doing that, for like taking me under their wing and helping me, coaching me, and the coaches have been more than happy to do so as well. So it's something great to have confidence coming into games, and especially coming into next week.
Also, playing with confidence means the more games the better, really.
Exactly, yeah. So it's great to have this kind of almost a springboard coming into next week. So it's awesome being able to have this opportunity now.
Yeah, Andrew Porter, and before him, Luke McGrath speaking to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Full videos with the lads on youtube.com/offtheball, plus a chat with Joey Carberry as well. Now, former Lions Leinster and Ireland man Shane Byrne is on the line as always. Shane, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Not bad, yourself?
Yeah, all good.
So, yes, Shane, a win, first try after 3 minutes. We had the bonus point by half-time, 7 tries in the end. Of course, that red card for Bundy Aki, you know, probably the one blot on the copybook, and all systems going out for a quarter-final.
Yeah, I think Andrew Porter said it there. It was a great confidence booster for them. I think that was probably as important as anything else garnered from this game. We played a lot better. There's no doubt about it. Joe Schmidt has some serious selection headaches. Jordan Larmour, I thought, was excellent. Deserved a note. I think the whole back row, the starting back row, were absolutely outstanding. And, you know, they looked very, very balanced. And then again, Peter O'Mahony comes on and plays very well. Now, to add to that, you know, this is exactly, you know, if we hadn't had the hiccup of the, if you call it that, against Japan, this is exactly where Ireland would have wanted to be in at this stage, running into the quarterfinals. And we don't know yet who we're going to, with that game going ahead, who we're going to be playing. But all in all, I would say Joe was very, very happy with the way the game went.
Yeah, just news on that. Japan and Scotland will take place today at 11:45 Irish time, and Nathan is still here. Nathan, there was doubts, and you know there was some reports that it was going to be put down as a 0-0 draw, and that you know Scotland were possibly going to take legal action against World Rugby, but the game is going to take place today.
Yeah, it was hugely controversial. It was in doubt, as you just said, until this morning. World Rugby said the match will go ahead as scheduled at Yokohama Stadium. If Scotland win, we would face second place South Africa, but if Japan win or even draw, they would finish top and we would face the All Blacks. So it's a huge game for the Rugby World Cup future of Ireland. It's kicking off at 11:45 this morning.
And at 9:15, which is in about 40 seconds time, it's Wales against Uruguay. Shane, just given all the build-up and you know, we knew that it was possible that we had to get, you know, the bonus points, and to get that by half-time, I'm sure was a massive relief for everybody in the Ireland camp.
Yeah, and as well as you mentioned, considering what happened to Bundiaki, it really was something that Ireland needed to tick that box nice and early, and we started superbly, and it was a high-tempo game, very controlled, a few handling mistakes. Robbie Henshaw, obviously very, very eager to get back in the fold. You could see he was a bit rusty, a few passes went astray, etc., things like that, a few penalties he gave away. But yeah, the team really hit the ground running and they're on a mission. There was a slight little blip with Bundiaki, but it really seemed to, you know, galvanise the team, and they just upped the pace, and you almost didn't notice that we were a man down for the whole game. It was superb to see, because regardless of the opposition, it's a very, very hard thing to do, particularly for the back three, and the way they were Sutton, Conway in at centre as well, is that the way they have to move and cover ground when they were their man down, you barely even notice this, which is a great compliment to the guys.
Yeah, we'll hear now from the Ireland coach Joe Schmidt and the captain Rory Best, and they were asked by Owen Sheehan at yesterday's press conference if they are more well placed now for a quarter final than they were maybe in 2015 or 2011 in terms of injuries and players available. With Bundiaki, we expect the only one to be unavailable for the game against obviously the All Blacks or South Africa next weekend.
We've certainly got more bodies available, and that's a positive for starters. I think there's a bit more uncertainty this time. Last time, once we played France, we knew we were playing Argentina. There was some certainty in what we could do to prepare for that. It's a bit awkward because we've got to wait until that final game in the pool and find out then exactly who we may be playing. So we've got a better body count. I would say that we've got 31 fit players at this stage, as far as I know. And, if we lose one of those through any consequence of the judiciary, then, you know, I do feel at least Robbie was back today and did very well. And we've got Chris and we've got Gary, so we've got some cover there. If we do lose Bundy, last time, you know, losing your captain, losing probably a talismanic loose forward like Sean O'Brien, losing your director of operations and Johnny Sexton, and Pete O'Mahony, a key man in the lineup, plus Jared Payne, it was a kind of concertina effect for us. This time, hopefully, we'll be through unscathed and we can give it our best shot.
Yeah, look, I think that unfortunately with the performance against Japan whatever a couple of weeks ago, we kind of lost control of that. But we also knew that 10 points in the next two games would guarantee us a quarter final. So we've done that, and we just have to wait to see what happens tomorrow. As Joe said there, you know, it is a bit of a wait and see. And an extra day is always nicer, but it's still, it's when you start to go into 6 and 5 day turnarounds and things become complicated. 7 day turnaround is something we're used to in Six Nations, by and large, so that we're used to turning around in that sort of period, and it gives us a full run in. That's what we had this week for Samoa, you know, that sort of normal run into a game, and I think whatever it'll be, they're two world-class teams, and we know we're going to have to be better again than we were tonight, and we're going to have to produce some of our best results.
Yeah, the Ireland captain Rory Best and the coach Joe Schmidt. And the sound in the background, folks, is many journalists ferociously typing away as the player and the coach were giving their quotes there. And I think the sound of a Japanese interpreter in the background as well. So all systems go in the press conference room at these games. Shane, if you could handpick opposition, and I'm going to give you a magic wand, the All Blacks or South Africa, and why?
Yeah, that's a hard one, because you can debate that either side. We're one of the very few, I think we're the only country who's beaten both of them in the last, 15 months, which is very, very important, and either opposition will know it. You'd love to meet New Zealand in a bigger stage, you know, in the final, where would be the only other place if it was to be. That'd be nice. But then there's the debate that you have to get these guys, they get better as the game goes on. So, yeah, listen, I'd be happy with either way. You know, it's a game that we can play on. We've shown, the form book would have, we haven't shown anything to say we definitely beat either side yet. But we both know that there is that game in this team. And I think no matter what the opposition is, you know, we're not going to go in as, you know, dead ringers to lose the game. It will be something that is in our hands. So if it has to be New Zealand, it has to be New Zealand's. You know, it all depends on this game kicking off in an hour or two.
Yeah, the quarterfinals take place across Saturday and Sunday next weekend. Saturday 8:15 and 11:15 and Sunday 8:15 and 11:15 as well. I'm praying, Shane, that the game is not going to be 8:15 next Sunday in the middle of our show, because it's impossible to have you on to analyse it if it's actually on, because everyone will be watching on telly and no one will be listening to us. So hopefully it's not all at right. That time. Shane, just lastly, you mentioned Japan, Scotland and that game being on today and you know, this, you know, Storm Haggabus and you know, I suppose the real threat that game wasn't going to happen and it was going to be a scoreless draw and Scotland were going to take legal action and God knows what would have happened then. Thankfully, it is going to take place and hopefully everybody, players and fans, stay safe for that game. But just what did you make of all of that? And, you know, all of this was determined 10 years ago when all the countries signed up that if we do get to Japan and there is, you know, a freak weather event and games are cancelled, they've signed up to a 0-0 draw. But if Scotland were going to have to take legal action and so on and so forth, and a game not actually taking place at the World Cup would have been a disaster.
It is a disaster. It really is. It's always going to be the World Cup remembered as that. Because it does give a huge advantage to the New Zealand, England, France kind of teams that, you know, a rest weekend leading into quarterfinals is a massive, massive thing. Everybody knows, look, they should have had proper alternate venues, not 30 kilometres down the road. It should have been, if that's down the South Island, that you have an alternate venue organised right up the top of the North Island, so that it is typhoon season. And they all knew it, and it's scheduled, it's the same every year, it's just the varying intensities that happens, and it was always going to get hit. And they should have had different venues completely opposite ends of the country, you know, sorted for that. They didn't. This has happened. You feel very, very bad for Italy, I suppose, as the main ones. They wanted, a few of their players were bowing out on the big stage, and you don't get much bigger against New Zealand in the World Cup. And it's an awful pity that it happened. And, you know, there is the undercurrent that, you know, if it was New Zealand looking for points, you know, the game would have gone ahead somewhere. And, you know, that just leaves a bad taste. Whether it's true or not, it is an awful shame because, look, we love the World Cup. It has been fantastic to this point, and it is a shame that games are being called off.
Shane, thanks for being here. Speak to you next weekend.
No problem.
Yeah, of course, we have to say as well, 9 people confirmed to have actually died in Japan so far. So, of course, life a bit more than just sport, and our thoughts and prayers with those people and their families. Hopefully everybody else stays safe as that storm hopefully passes through and the World Cup will remain unaffected moving forward. Nathan, Pro 14 as well.
Yeah, the Toyota Cheetahs made it back-to-back wins over the provinces. Last week they saw off Ulster and this week they trounced Munster by 40 points to 16. Connacht secured an impressive 38-14 win away to the Dragons. Leinster dominated Edinburgh at the RDS, winning 40 points to 14. And Ulster beat the Southern Kings by 42 points to 17 in South Africa.
It's 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday. Vera Powell, the women's national team manager, Stephen Kenny, under-21 boss, Aaron Connolly, Ireland's newest striker, and loads more to come. We're back in a sec.
98FM. Now that's what I call sport.
You're very welcome back to That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. Myself and Nathan were debating if it is actually morning or if the clocks have been changed and it's actually still the middle of the night because it's so dark out.
It's horrendous, isn't it? As you said, great. It looks like the end of the world.
You're going on your holidays today, are you?
I am indeed, sir. I'm off to Croatia.
Very. Is it hot there?
I hope so. I checked and it was meant to be early to mid-20s, so that'll do me fine.
And Nathan loves And That's What I Call Sport so much. He booked to go on holidays this Sunday afternoon and he's back next Saturday night, so he doesn't miss the show.
Yeah, now see, there's priorities in check. That's all I'll say.
Thanks very much.
No problem.
So history making in gymnastics for someone Irish?
Yes, Rhys McLennigan made history this afternoon after he became the first Irish gymnast to medal at the World Championships after he claimed bronze medal in the pommel horse in Stuttgart last night, I should say. Rhys also booked his spot at the 2020 Olympic Games by qualifying for the final earlier in the week. It's a huge congrats from everyone here at 98FM.
Yeah, now last night at home watching the sport, and I get three or four WhatsApp videos sent to me of an Enniskerry team on top of a truck celebrating, and just absolute disaster that could have ended a lot worse. And thankfully, touch wood, nobody has lost their life and nobody appears to be, you know, very, very, very badly injured. But this story and people sharing videos online and stuff, and I know the club released a statement last night asking people not to share the videos. Just like, it goes to pit your stomach when you see a young team of sports people basically falling, and it possibly could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, 9 people were injured after a group of young men fell off a truck in County Wicklow. They were members of the GAA club Enniskerry, celebrating after they beat Avoca in the Junior B Championship final. As you mentioned, the video doing the rounds on social media shows the men celebrating before a barrier on top of the truck collapses, sending them tumbling onto the road. And it was a fair old drop, it has to be said. The men were taken to Tallaght and St Vincent hospitals for treatment, and a statement from Enniskerry GAA on Facebook said there is no critical or life-threatening injuries after tonight's accident, nor was there any deaths. Some players have bad injuries, but everyone will be fine. We'd appreciate if everyone could stop spreading false rumours and sharing videos. Thanks to all for your concern. And speaking of St Vincent's Hospital, we go to the GAA club now, as they were in action. They fell short to St Jude's in the Senior Football Championship quarter final. The Southside club beat Vincent's by 11 points to 4, rendering Dermot Connolly scoreless for the entire 70 minutes. Elsewhere, Ballyboden St Enda's needed extra time to see off Nafina in the other quarter final. That game finished 3-15 to 1-15. There are two more quarterfinals on today in Parnell Park. Kilmacud Crokes take on Clontarf. That throw-in is at 2 p.m. while Castleknock take on Thomas Davis at 4 p.m.
Yes, and yeah, great games yesterday, and you know, live on the telly. And Philly McMahon was brilliant on punditry, and just, yeah, really good. And extra time, and just like, you can just see, you know, a lot of them, because they've played with each other for the Dubs and then they play against each other for their clubs, and they want to batter each other, and it's great.
I love to see it, yeah. And I love to see, like, you see star men from both sides, as you mentioned. Dermot Connolly, full forward for Vincent's. Kev Mack, full forward for St Jude's. And we're sure to see a lot more Dublin men in action today.
League of Ireland on 98FM. The best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League.
Now we'll start with the First Division, and Cabinteely will play Drogheda over two legs on Friday week and Friday fortnight for the right to play Finn Harps for the right to be in the League of Ireland Premier Division next year, because they had a dramatic 3-1 penalty shootout win over Longford Town in front of over 1,000 fans at City Calling Stadium on Friday night. Paul Fox had given Cabinteely the lead before Aaron Dobbs equalised. It went 1-1 all the way through extra time and to penalties, and the Cabo goalkeeper Stephen McGuinness saved three, with Rob Manley, the top scorer in the First Division and the top scorer for Cabinteely, netting the winner. And both of those have been speaking to Cabinteely's Twitter page.
Yeah, no, very good. It's great result for Cabinteely. Stephen McGuinness, I don't know how he's after doing it, but he's pulled off a miracle there with between three saves and during the game as well. Some unbelievable saves from him. So he's been a man of the match, has to be.
And Clark, nerves yourself to step up and score the winning penalty, considering the miss against Cork?
Yeah, that was in me head, obviously. But that's what football's all about. You have to get back up on the horse and go again and go at it, and that's what I did, and luckily it went in.
It's been a dream season for you so far, and there's still a lot to do.
Yeah, definitely. It's a roller coaster of a season, and we still have another 2 games, possibly 4, to go, so everyone's looking forward to it.
You made a name for yourself this season saving penalties. You're doing it again tonight?
Yeah, well, at the first time I was like, can't have a repeat of Cork, so you know, you take each panel as it comes and you try and read the body language, and looking enough, I've gone the right way for 3 of them. So.
And then Rob putting away the willing penalty, must have been a great feeling.
Oh, when Rob was stepping up, there was never any doubt. I knew exactly, like, he was going to score. There's never, the confidence he's had all season has been amazing. So it's a top goal scorer for a reason.
Yeah, the blaring sounds of the Ghetto Blaster in the Cabinteely dressing room, that would have probably rival the speakers in Coppers, it seemed to be that loud. That's the Cabo keeper Stephen McGuinness, and the winning penalty taker Rob Manley. And here is now a very disappointed Longford Town manager Dara Doyle, who spoke to their SoundCloud.
It's gutting, it's a hard way to lose a game. There's no worse way than going out to losing on penalties. Obviously, when it gets to penalties, most of the times I tends to be a hero. It tends to be a goalkeeper. Unfortunately, it was the Cabinteely goalkeeper tonight who came out as the hero and helped his team into the next stage of the playoffs. But from our point of view, with the lads and how they played and the fight and the spirit and the level of play out there, I told them how proud I was of them. I couldn't ask for any more. They gave me everything they had tonight. They really did. And listen, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, we're hoping to chat to Dara Doyle and Steve McGuinness in more detail on our League of Ireland podcast, which will be available during the week. In the Premier Division, Bohemians all but secured European football for next season and Europa League qualifiers after a very good win over Dundalk. They were playing at Daleman Park, a game I was at, and won the game 2-1, played really well, probably fully deserved to win it, and it puts them in the league table. If we just look at the league table now, Bowes on 56, Derry on 51 and Pats on 48, so Bowes are 8 clear of Pats. Now, Pats do have a game in hand and they have to play Bowes next week, so that could make things interesting. But yeah, it looks like Bohemians will be in Europe next season after that 2-1 win. Neil Fenn picked up his first victory as Cork City manager in a 3-2 victory over UCD, and Shamrock Rovers beat Finn Harps 1-0. And that basically means that UCD are now 6 points from safety with 2 games left. Their goal difference is like 20 goals worse off than Finn Harps, so that's UCD back in the first division for next season. And Finn Harps now can't catch Cork City, so they will be in that relegation promotion playoff against the winners of Drogheda and Cabinteely, which takes place over the next 2 Fridays. So all of the main issues in the League of Ireland nearly sorted now at this stage.
It's the greatest league in the world. League of Ireland on 98FM.
Now, record crowd of over 7,000 at Tala Stadium to watch the Ireland under-21s against Italy during the week. Nathan, and an Italian team who liked to dive and a referee who didn't seem to deal with it.
Yep, and it was a controversial nil-all draw. Both of those points you made weren't the most talked about points of the night. As you said, Ireland faced Italy at Tala Stadium, which saw Troy Parrott and Everton's Moyes Keane sent off for a coming together also. That caused a bit of a stir. Kenny's men travelled to second place Iceland on Tuesday in a bid to maintain their firm grip at top of Group A in the Euro qualifiers.
Yeah, Troy Parrott's red card, absolutely scandalous. He did nothing. He was on a yellow card. He actually did nothing but get pushed by Keane, and the referee decided to give him a second yellow and send him off. And these referees are not held to account, and that referee will probably have a game next week. And, like, if a player plays terribly, he gets dropped. If a manager does terribly, he gets sacked. If a referee does terribly, nothing happens to him.
Yeah, and it was very, very, very surprising because it was literally just a shove. Like, it was just a, can you brush out of the way, I'm trying to get the game started. It was very, very surprising, I have to say.
Yeah, now the Ireland manager, Stephen Kenny, spoke to our Stephen Doyle after the game.
You know, you stayed top of the table, even though you've, you know, dropped 2 points here at home, but the important thing was you didn't lose. So you're kind of happy now with the position after 4 games in the group?
Well, certainly, it's a very, very good start. And of course, we would have been happy with that Sweden away winning. And the 2 home games, and but we're not ecstatic about drawing tonight. We feel we could have won the game in the end. The players are a little bit disappointed they didn't win, but that shows you how far they've come in such a short time.
Yeah, Ireland 21's back in action in Iceland on Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday afternoon as well, in front of what will be a very sparse crowd. So a difference from playing in front of a Tala Stadium sellout or 7,000 anyway to playing in Iceland. And Vera Powell, the women's national team manager as well, her team also played in front of a record crowd on Tuesday night. Yeah, latest game was Tuesday and the 21st was Thursday.
It was indeed, yeah. And she got off to a perfect start, her reign did. She beat Ukraine 3-2 in front of a record crowd at Tala Stadium. Goals from Katie McCabe, Rihanna Jarrett and an own goal from Lyubov Shmatko handed them all 3 vital points. Next up for the girls in green is a trip to Greece on the 12th of November.
You think you're great by pronouncing Lyubov Shmatko really well. I had to do it live about 6 times on Off the Ball on Tuesday night. So there you go. You're all delighted with yourself, aren't you?
I am indeed. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's hear now from the Ireland women's boss.
Yeah, I noticed in the second half you were trying to scream with your hands around your mouth for the players to hear you with the record crowd and lots of young girls screaming. It was sometimes hard for your players to actually hear you.
They didn't hear me. I had to use all my voice and they did not hear me. So that's a good thing. You cannot say like, one more, I need to coach. Yeah. But that is a good thing, eh? So one time I asked the players, who has a loud voice, can you call me? Yeah.
You know, the crowd as well was massive, 5,328, I think. And the FAI had hoped there'd be 8,000 here, and I think some season ticket holders maybe didn't take up their tickets and there were some empty seats. It's still a record crowd, but are you disappointed that it wasn't the 8,000 that we'd hoped it would be, given that there were 8,000 tickets given out?
Well, disappointed. It is a shame. It's a shame because we've been absolutely clear, handing your tickets, because there were so many people wanted to come who couldn't come, mm-hmm. because there were no tickets available. And that is really a shame. Maybe we need to think about a different way, because those people will stay. They will come. Everybody will come. And to get the stadium full, we maybe need to think of how can we organize that. But people have done a phenomenal work to get that all those tickets being picked up, because people had to download them. They had to how do you say that?
To receive them, to take them, yeah.
To request them, yeah, to yeah. get them. So it's just a shame that they then not come.
And I know the FAI, you know, people in the ticket office were making calls to make sure people were going to use their tickets. Clearly 2,500 didn't. And for the next game in a little while, I know you're away in the next game to Greece, but to hopefully that, you know, 8,000 tickets are available for people who will actually come and sit in the seats and cheer you on.
Yeah, and so I'm sure there's specialists in our office. It was amazing what they did now, but now everybody's awake, everybody wants to come, and I'm sure that they find a way to get it really packed.
And lastly, two wins from two, the opening game against Montenegro when you watched in the crowd, and the win tonight. Germany 10-0, 8-0, 8-0, 5-0. It's likely they'll top the group. Ukraine, who you said before the game were your main rivals for a second, have no points now from three games. They have played Germany twice. You've played Germany in two of your last three games. Greece away next. And there's a chance to really try and build some more points with some tough games towards the end of the group.
Yeah, we need to win from Greece and Montenegro. That's it, and then it comes back to our away game against Ukraine. So it is a shame we've given the goals away because of the goal difference and the internal result. So if we lose 1-0 there, they have a better result because they've scored twice. But on the other hand, a draw could be enough over there.
So you're happy with your start and an enjoyable night for you in your first game as manager too?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. It keeps us going till the end.
Yeah, I love that. Vera Pau speaking to me on Tuesday night at Tallaght Stadium. Full video on youtube.com/offtheball. And she was actually wrapped in her Ireland scarf as well and having celebrated with the fans. So really nice moment for Vera in her opening game in charge. And best luck to the girls in green for the rest of that campaign. Now we're going to stick with Ireland next on 98. The men's team trying to make it to Euro 2020. The captain Seamus Coleman, new cap and striker and debutant Aaron Connolly, and the Darrens, goalkeeper Darren Randolph and former boy in green Darren O'Dea. They'll all be here next on 98.
98 FM. Now that's what I call sport.
Yeah, we're all things boys in green for the rest of the show this Sunday here on 98 FM. And last night in Georgia, debates on my last R&D if it was 1 point gained or 2 points dropped, but a performance for the boys in green in a clean sheet nonetheless, and a debut for Aaron Connolly.
Yes, it was. It was a hard fought nil all draw in Georgia for the boys in green. The team seemed to lack cohesion at times and struggled to really create anything for 80 minutes that wasn't least until a certain Aaron Connolly came on. He was troubling the Georgian defence no end. Mick said he'd be happy with a point, but a win would have been ideal heading into two crucial ties against the top two seeds, Switzerland and Denmark, which are those games.
Yes, and the table after those games last night, Ireland are still top, played 6, won 3 and drawn 3, so they're on 12 points from those games. Denmark the exact same, played 6, won 3, drawn 3, they're also on 12. Switzerland have played 5 games, they're on 8 points. Georgia on 5 and Gibraltar on 0. So it's really between Denmark, Switzerland and Ireland for those two top spot places. And fixtures again midweek.
Yeah, Tuesday sees Ireland travel to Switzerland and Gibraltar take on Georgia. Both of those games kick off at 7:45.
Yes, now let's get the news from the Ireland camp in a moment. The goalkeeper Darren Randolph and captain Seamus Coleman. But first off the balls, Richard McCormack has been catching up with Ireland's newest striker.
Aaron, Dan beside me mentioned there yourself, you're not letting go of the jersey?
Nah, definitely not, no. I'll be keeping all this for a while, I think. Definitely hardest moment I've had in football so far.
We saw you going back in there a few minutes ago. You were clutching your phone. It was obviously exploding after coming on the 79th minute. What was the reaction like back home?
Just people proud, obviously. Whoever's helped me all the way up has obviously just messaged me and just said how proud they are of me, and hopefully I can keep making them proud every day.
It seemed like a frustrating game to be watching. Seamus Coleman was with us a little bit earlier on. He mentioned that it was a bit helter-skelter. The view from the bench, I mean, what was your impression of it sitting there?
I'd say I agree with Seamus. Obviously, it was quite a hectic game. There was a lot at stake kind of thing. And I was just watching, just seeing what the centre-halves were like, obviously, just to see if I did come on, see how I could get in and stuff like that. So that was my main focus. And obviously, I thought it was a good performance. We've got a point, so you can't be unhappy with that.
Looking at how the centre-halves were playing and how they were behaving, kind of interacting with one another, that clearly paid off with those couple of half chances you had towards the end.
Yeah, obviously, as a striker, I think I've got to score that second one. It's a bit disappointing, obviously. In a game like that, I think, no matter what age, you have to put that away. So it is disappointing, but obviously it's a proud night as well for me.
You clearly don't feel kind of out of your depth at senior level. It's something that was brought up a few times during the week, was that you seem comfortable, you don't seem like you're overawed by the team, but in the same time you're, I guess, humbled, we can see obviously by the call-up.
Yeah, obviously it's when I first got the call, I was quite shocked and excited. So I've had the experience with first team since I've come back this summer for Brighton, so obviously if I hadn't had that, I'd be a bit more nerve-wracking coming here. But since I've had that experience, it's kind of helped me settle in here more, and obviously the boys have helped me settle in, and obviously the gaffer and his coach and stuff.
You'd be hopeful, I guess, of a starting place against Switzerland on Tuesday. Is that too much to ask for?
I don't know. It's up to the gaffer, obviously, and his staff, whatever they decide. If they do decide to start me, well, then obviously I'll try and take that chance with both hands. If not, I'll try and do the same thing I've done tonight.
Seamus, your impressions after that game? It seemed like a pretty hard-fought point.
Yeah, tough point. In all credit to Georgia, I think over the last number of years have improved massively. And as players, we never for a minute thought coming out here this was going to be an easy game or an easy 3 points. Probably didn't play as well as we'd liked in their half of the pitch. Saying that, they didn't create too much, they didn't test Darren Randolph too much. So look, we got a clean sheet. Look, we all would have loved 3 points. Football doesn't work like that all the time, so we got to look to Tuesday night now and go again.
Mick spoke a lot in the build up to the game about Aaron Connolly's attitudes, about how well he'd fitted into the squad, etc. Your impressions of him this past week?
Yeah, he's been great. Lovely lad, bit of a quiet lad, but he's got that confidence as well, which you want in a striker. And he looks like a goal scorer, but look, it's important not to put too much pressure on him. He's only a young lad, but I thought he was dangerous when he came on tonight.
Shows, I guess, that this kind of level of football wouldn't faze him, and that there'd be no real kind of down point to throwing him on a Tuesday night again.
No, I can't see why not, but look, that's the manager decision. But from what I've seen, you know, he's all or nothing, and he's a dangerous type of player. And as I said, he gave them a different problem when he came on tonight. And you know, all credit to him. It's a proud night for him to make his international debut, and he deserves it.
A word for your opposite number there on the other side of the pitch, Matt Doherty. How do you think he fared this evening in a kind of unusual role for him with the international setup?
Yeah, with international setup, but he's played left back, you know, a couple of seasons for Wolves, so he knows what it's all about. And you know, it's important for a back four, back five, that we kept a clean sheet, and we did that as a team. And you know, Matt looked comfortable out there, and you know, I thought John and Shane were solid at the back. And as I said, we just maybe weren't as good as we'd liked in their half at times. As I said, it was just a bit helter-skelter, and look, we go to Tuesday night.
Does tonight ratchet up the need to get a result in Geneva on Tuesday night?
Look, anytime we go out there, we want to get a result, and you know, we'll go there, and we know we're capable of a big result. And I think our fans were amazing tonight, how they travelled, and I know they'll travel again Tuesday night. And you know, we appreciate that massively, so a word for them as well. But look, we'll go into Tuesday night, and we know we're capable of a big result.
Qualification still very much in our own hands.
Of course, yeah. Look, two games, and we'll go out there full of confidence in them two games, and we'll see what they bring.
Darren, a frustrating night all round for Ireland, I guess?
Frustrated a little bit for not winning, but again, it's a good point away from home. Me personally, I would have taken, you know, the point here. I've been here before, and I knew how tough it would be. Yeah, it's always disappointing not to get the win, but it's a point that we take and move on to Tuesday.
Odd from your perspective, because I guess there are a lot of Georgian possession, there's a lot of Georgian kind of half chances, but yourself wasn't tested too much.
No, I think the first shot on target was Aaron's after 88-89 minutes. So kind of both teams got into good positions, but there wasn't probably a shot on target at the end of it.
You're very much viewing this as a point gain then? Very much viewing this as a point gained rather than two drops.
It could be a valuable point come the end of the group. Points better than nothing, so I'll take it.
Now from one Darren Randolph, the Ireland goalkeeper, to another Darren, former Ireland centre back and current Celtic under 18 manager Darren O'Dea is on the line. Darren, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Jamie.
So Darren, we asked Mr. Randolph at the end there, was it a point gained or two dropped? He said a point gained. What's your thoughts?
Probably a point gained. I never expected Ireland to go and win. I think the performances throughout the campaign have shown that we'll struggle to score goals. So the key to winning games is always going to be a clean sheet, and then can we nick something from a set play or a wee moment of quality in the game. The game provided exactly what I thought it would. Low in quality, plenty of endeavour, probably a point gained. And listening to the comments of even Seamus Coleman, even with the performances so far, I do agree with him that the players are capable of kind of bringing out a big result at a big time, and they're going to need it now.
Yeah, six games played in this group, Darren, just two goals conceded. Now, only six scored, and that is a problem, but to be unbeaten and to have only conceded two goals, that's something that I'm sure everybody there, and being a former defender yourself, will be happy with. We just heard there from Seamus and from Darren Randolph. Matt Doherty came in last night at left-back. Shane Duffy returned to play with John Egan, but of course, Richard Keogh out. So from that point of view, defensively, things have been very, very good.
Yeah, if you look at the back four, it's a kind of new back four last night, but anyone that goes into the, and we've spoken about many times before, anyone that goes into the Irish team knows what their role is, knows how to essentially kind of shut up shop. Ireland are very, very tough to watch at times in terms of the quality and the entertainment, and it was the same when I played, but generally down the years, they're the teams that have brought success. I think it plays, Mick McCarthy's playing to the players' strengths, and that's that they all put in an enormous amount of effort. They're very diligent in how they work defensively. They're gritty, they're resilient, and don't get me wrong, there is quality. If you look, obviously, the young lad, Aaron Connolly, comes on and he maybe could score, and they're the moments we're waiting on all the time. There's only going to be two or three moments in a game, and if we can take one, we usually look defensively sound. So we're going to need that again on Tuesday night. We won't win the game by scoring goals. We'll win the game by keeping a clean sheet and nicking maybe one goal.
Yeah, we know the top two teams qualify automatically for Euro 2020. Ireland and Denmark both on 12 points. The Swiss do have a game in hand. They're on 8. So, you know, a result of some sort of win will be fantastic on Tuesday. But again, if you don't lose the game, it keeps the gap at 4. And it means, again, it's probably not in your hands then. So I'm sure Ireland will take a point now. But if they go to Switzerland and win, it just makes things very, very positive. Because, of course, the last game of the campaign, Darren, at home to Denmark. And we know how difficult we found playing them in recent times, even though we have got a couple of good points against them.
Yeah, I feel Ireland go into every game. I don't think they consciously go into to not win the game, but they don't play like a team that is really taking the game to the opposition. They go and it's stuffy, and it kind of, they're waiting for the last 10 minutes to have a real go. And even last night was the same. Obviously, the introduction of Aaron Connolly helped, but that's Ireland in a nutshell, kind of been very, very pragmatic all the way through the game and then have a little bit of a go for the last 10 minutes. I don't think that's going to change. But then on the flip side to it, and touching on Seamus Coleman's comments, they seem to be capable of a big result when it's really, really needed. So I'd be comfortable going into, and say I'd be comfortable at taking it at the start of the group campaign, if we're going into the last game, that if we do need a win, even with the performances that don't suggest we're ready to win a big game, last, Ireland have shown in the past that they're capable of a big result out of nowhere. So I'm still relatively positive that we can get a good end to the campaign and qualify.
You're happy with the defensive record? Not overly happy, I'm sure, with only 6 goals scored in the 6 matches. Aaron Connolly did make his debut last night, having scored twice for Brighton last weekend. And I think Seamus Coleman was anxious to point out in the pre-match press conference not to be comparing Aaron Connolly to Robbie Keane, that it's not fair on him. He's a kid, he's 19. Yes, he's got a couple of Premier League goals, but to compare him to Ireland's, you know, record goal scorer is silly. And he came on last night for 11 minutes. Had a couple of chances, he said himself earlier in the show, he probably should have scored the second one. But he's a player with confidence who probably doesn't have any fear at this stage of his career. Darren, do you feel he's someone who should start this match on Tuesday?
I think, in all honesty, where you hear, and we've seen it many times before, there's a clambering from the start, is because the Irish fans are desperate for a bit of excitement, a bit of good news. I think the lad did excellent when he came on, impacted the game. But let's be real, he's played a couple of games and obviously kind of lit up his last game against Tottenham in the Premier League. But I don't buy into this. There's boys that have been there and have earned the right to be there. And to be fair to the kid, he seems very humble and realistic as well. I think the game would probably suit him if it is in the latter stages of the game, 20 minutes to go. Maybe he could have had maybe a few more minutes on the pitch rather than just the amount he had. But to go from kind of not playing club football and kind of, he's had a big week, I think it's more realistic that he'll impact coming off the bench. I understand the desire to see him start, and I don't doubt he probably could, but there needs to be a realism around it as well. So I don't think he will. I think it's more likely you'll see him come off the bench again.
Yeah, and just on that, Darren, you know, you're working with young players now at Celtic, and you know, it hasn't been in the last number of years under any of the managers really, Trapattoni, O'Neill and McCarthy, where young players really burst onto the scene like Aaron Connolly has, and for example like Troy Parrott has, and hopefully we'll continue to do. Watched the under-21s the other night, and again, they were really, really good and played a really nice brand of football. And Mick McCarthy's been asked loads by all of us about Troy and Aaron Connolly and these fellas and about putting them in. And I'm surprised, for one, that actually Aaron Connolly came on last night, given listening to Mick McCarthy and him saying that he didn't feel these type of games were the ones for a player untested at senior level. But young players too, they have no fear. And if they are in form, you know, why not put them in and give them a chance? And you're probably right, I don't think he will start on Tuesday. But, you know, someone like him and a Troy Parrott and others, it hasn't been overly common, even in your time, when a young player comes and go straight into the group. And to see that on last night, I was a little surprised, and hopefully there's more to come, of course, in the coming years with Stephen Kenny eventually to take the job working with a lot of those younger players now.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I'd have nothing against them starting the game on Tuesday night. The problem I have is that I think he'll be chasing lost causes the whole game. He won't touch the ball. He'll have to play a role alone. He won't have another Irish jersey within 40 yards of him a lot of the time. That's the problem. And so I wouldn't want the buzz and the energy and that fearlessness that he has clearly to dwindle it all. And I think playing 90 minutes in this team as a centre forward is a very, very tough job. And I think I understand that, yes, he had probably two of the better chances in the game just in the time he was on, but that's a consequence of coming on later in the game. It becomes a little bit stretched and defenders are maybe a little bit more fatigued or less, there's less concentration, there's less intensity in the game. So do I think he could start and do well? Yeah, in a different style of team, but not in this style of team. Ireland would be camped at the edge of their box, launching balls forward. Listen, I've nothing against him starting. He'll chase things down, he'll chase lost causes, he'll provide loads and loads of energy, but I just don't think it would suit a player of that age to start in another team. And maybe when Stephen Kenny comes in, absolutely, the more younger players we've got coming through, the better. And I agree, we don't probably bring through them at a very young age, and maybe this is the start of it, but it's more the style of play that I would worry about a younger player starting.
And Darren, lastly and briefly, if you can, this game against Switzerland on Tuesday, followed by the last home game of the campaign against Denmark. The players and the manager have said it's still in Ireland's hands. It is, but they need results in these two matches. Do you see them actually finishing in the top two and making it to these Euros?
Who knows? Who knows? I really don't know. They're not performing well enough to finish in the top two, but at the end of the day, Ireland always produce magic moments when you least expect it. So, fingers crossed.
Great stuff as always, Darren O'Dea. Thanks a million, and good luck with your new job at Celtic as well. The best of luck with it.
Brilliant, thanks Jamie.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.